Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Another blessed day in Christ Jesus on this Saturday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. Once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. I want to shout out to those of you listening to the broadcast here in the United States. Welcome. Welcome to you in Canada and Mexico. Welcome, Philippines, Iraq. Welcome. And every country that's listening to this broadcast that I have not named, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordsman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give it to you. Glory be to God. So, as we wait for my brother to come on, I ask that wherever you are listening to me at, I want you to join in with me in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, our God and Lord and Savior, our Messiah, we thank you today for, Lord God, enabling us to be able to assemble together on this broadcast. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you have prepared in the hearts of your people who is to give the word tonight. We thank you for the word that you have prepared into the hearts of the people who is standing to receive. Father, we ask that you will fill this broadcast with your anointing. Let your power be manifest and felt in the name of Jesus. Revealed in your mind, reveal your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you listening. This is Saturday night. For those of you who follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know it's Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens tonight. And glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed opportunity to come before you with the Word of God. Amen. And I am grateful today for the things that God is doing that our eyes have yet to see. God is going to and getting ready to, during this year, during this time, if you haven't already with some, he is going to manifest and reveal some things. Glory be to God. And as one sister had put it, it's going to be all of a sudden things. Glory be to God. There's going to be some revelations, some manifestations going on during this year. Amen. That God is going to unfold some things. Things that have been hidden probably for a time is going to be unfolded. Amen. And God is going to bless his people. This, as well as being a trying season, a trying year. So prepare yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. And remember, once again, people, develop a personal study time yourself. Okay? We're not trying to rule out your Sunday school and your weekly Bible studies. But people, listen. You got to develop a personal time between you and God. There's times that God want to speak to you where a congregation is present, and there's times where he want to speak to you one-on-one. We got to get in the attitude of studying personally, because what happens if you and the congregation is not able to meet? You know, some people, you know, when that happens, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do when there's no other people around. So you got to know what to do when you are assembled together with people or when you are by yourself. Amen. And I'm telling you, this time we're living in, you're going to have to know personally Jesus yourself. You can't, quote, know him through someone else, per se. Someone else going to pray for you all the time, reading and studying for you is not going to cover it. Okay? This is personal relationship time. And this is time where that you're going to have to know Jesus personally, or you're going to fall. That just simply put it. and the things that we are encountering these last days that are coming. And I'm telling you, things are getting more prepared, more and more against Christianity, even in this nation. Now, once again, some of y'all may think it's far-fetched. You may think that I'm just talking, but you just sit back and watch. Some of you that think this is out of the way talking, I'm telling you, this is the time now that you need to spend your time getting rooted in the word, that you may stand when you are confronted concerning the Lord. Amen. And you're going to be confronted. Now, some of you say, hey, I've been confronted already. Well, and you overcome, praise be to God. But I'm here to tell you that Satan is getting ready to ramp up the pressure. Hear what I'm saying? He's getting ready to ramp up the pressure. So if you think that that one encounter you had or two, that all is to it, then you being deceived. Because he's finna ramp up the pressure here in this nation alone. Okay? Amen. And so many of us are Christians, we are pure sleep. We sleep in the rapture. We sleep in whatever. Okay? We're pure sleeping. We think, oh, man, just any day I'm going to be gone. And you think that, oh, it ain't going to get that bad here. Listen, the Lord was showing me the other day how things is finna tighten up and how that he revealed in his word that peace. It's finna get so tough and get so bad around here that the only people that are going to have the true peace is the faithful. You understand what I'm saying? Now, once again, some of you listen, you say, okay, Brother Nate, yeah, we hear you. We know you're talking about the last day. Well, you could disregard it if you want to. I mean, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. But I'm here to tell you that things is finna tighten up so that the only ones who are going to have true, now listen to the word true with quotation marks around it, true peace is the faithful. You can rest assured. If you don't believe me, sit back and watch. I'm going to patch my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
More shalom, my dear brother. And to everyone in every place that are listening around the world, Jesus Christ is Lord. And he's the absolutely only victor and only way of hope and deliverance for mankind. So I celebrate every day Yom Kippur, the atonement, and I celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacle. So thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Glad to be on another night, brother, to share the hope that we have in Christ. And so this is a good thing and a wonderful thing that we have the opportunity.
Yes, it is, brother. It's definitely, and we need to go ahead and take advantage of it right now.
Absolutely. And we are on this Talk Block Radio, and we have to repeat this over and over again to everyone that is out of love for Christ, our Redeemer, and for love for you and all mankind in every nation. Even though we haven't seen you, Christ has placed his redeeming love in our lives to reach out to you with the everlasting gospel of hope, deliverance, and redemption. So this is why we're here, for no fame, no fortune, no great recognition, just humble servants of Jesus Christ. And we are grateful for the opportunity that tonight that been given to us to the living God, and not in the coincidence that we are alive. I don't believe in luck. I believe in the surety. I believe in the absolutely guaranteed promises and the love of God that no accidents happens, no coincidence. I believe the planning and the purpose of God that we are alive. We are living in this last generation. Declare the most wonderful news. Jesus Christ came into earth for you and to get you and to make an answer and a deliverance for your life to all that believe. He died and rose again. He shed his blood, and he suffered, and he won the victory over Satan, sin, and death. And he's at the right hand of the Father, waiting for that moment to come for his bride, and to cleanse the earth and to rule and reign in Zion and Jerusalem. So thanks be to God for the victory that God has given through his son, Yeshua HaMashiach. And everyone in the part of the world, we want to say this because we're in America, the greatest nation on the earth in the last days, the greatest blessing comes from America and Zion, the rest of the world, because it is the planning of the Most High God. And I want to say this to all people. We are English-speaking people, and so the translation of the Bible and Scripture, we speak in the tongue that we have learned in America, which is what they call the mother tongue of England, the American language. So when we say the Lord Jesus, that's in our language. And we know that most of the world and other nations have their own language. And so the translation of the Bible out of the original Greek, Aramaic, or Hebrew is translated to us in the tongue of English. And we realize that you may be Mexican or Japanese or Chinese, or you may be Korean, or you may be African, whatever tongue the Lord God has translated the Bible so that the gospel can reach you. I want to say to all those that in under nations that have tyrants and despots and oppressive rulers who do not allow you to have liberty to read the Bible, have the hope that is in Christ, who forbids you, and most of the nation we understand are in Islam and nation. They forbid the Bible and the teaching of Christ as Lord. And so we understand the great oppression in Islamic nation. They don't allow you to have the freedom and liberty here, and neither in the communist nation or Marxist nation. So our prayers is for you that if you're in these Marxist, communist, and Islamic nation, we understand that the Lord Jesus will give you a breakthrough and a deliverance to your nation if you turn your eyes upon him and follow after him. And so I want to say that because I'm an American and I'm born in America, and I happen to be a black American who happens to be a believer in Christ and a part of the family of Abraham by faith and through the bloodline. And I celebrate this liberty we have, and we take it for granted. And so I'm taking this time because Americans has a tendency, because they were born in a liberty, free, opportunity nation, we take for granted that the rest of the world is enjoying all of this stuff. So we don't understand that many parts of the earth is suffering and going through agony and famine and drought and hunger and oppression. And so our prayers are for you if you happen to be in these nations, and the gospel is the power of your deliverance. And so we want to know that we love you, and we're interceding for you, and you have the freedom to call the number on Talk Block Radio, or you can do whatever they do, Instagram, Facebook, or text, or whatever, or write, whatever you choose to do to get in contact with us, and we'll do what we can do to aid you. Thanks be to God today. All right, Brother Robert, Brother Nathaniel Hunt, you all have been doing a wonderful and marvelous job through spreading the understanding of the scriptures of the restoration of all things. And I want to thank that through the week, our brother Nate and Brother Robert Gross, who are on a mission, divine mission, to explain the meaning of the prophecy of the restoration and restitution of all things that are spoken by Jesus and by the apostles, that we're living in the days of the unfolding of the Elijah, the restoration of all things. So there have been 4 weeks or 5 weeks there on the Brock Brock Radio. I hope that you'll tune in. And I hope that you'll grasp some great truth that the Lord wants you to hear in these last days. We are commonly part of a believers of restoration people called the Church of Christ with Elijah message. And we are blowing the horn and the trumpet about the coming Elijah being the last messenger in before Christ come to blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm in all his holy mountain, for the day of the Lord is here, as spoken in Isaiah 60 and Isaiah 59 and Joel chapter 2. So we say unto you, even though we have temporary peace, but we must have the peace of God in us and the peace of God with us, even though our nation may not be in peace. So many of you are living in nations that under continue war and conflict and famine and oppression, and we in America are enjoying the blessings of opportunity, privileges, liberty. We have the voice to declare the gospel freely for now, for the present time. And while we have this opportunity, we are going to use it to the best the Lord grant us grace. So, okay, this is Sisters Night. This is Missionary. This is Women's Night. This is the Handmaid's Night. So we are inviting all the handmaidens in Christ, just merely people, mothers and fathers and husbands and wives that are having struggles and difficulties, they are welcome to call and be a participant with us in sharing the good news. Okay, Brother Nate, you were saying?
Well, I'm just letting the people know that, you know, way things are going now, that things just been to get so intense that the true peace is only going to be found in the hearts of the faithful.
That's quite true. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, Philippians, in these last days and hours, the gospel of Jesus is often called the gospel of peace as well as redemption. And it reveals the peace that Paul spoke of in what Philippians 4, now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he was made redemption for us that we might know the peace of God and be at peace with God and make peace with God. And Jesus came that we may have know and find the peace of God and be at peace with God and walk in the peace of God in these last days, because you can't find real peace. I'm talking about divine spiritual peace that dwells in your heart in the midst of a confused, troubled world, that keep your heart and mind from having a heart attack and stroke and just fainting along the way. Jesus said in Matthew, as the time go by, the nations will faint and be weary and be distressed, and many will have heart attacks and strokes and all kind of things, and fear coming upon them for seeing all the things that are happening. But those that are walking in the assurance of Christ in them and walking under peace, under the Holy Ghost and the blood of Jesus, and trusting and believing that the angels of the Lord are preserving and delivering us, we can walk in assurance. We don't have to walk in fear. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. We have to know that he is God, the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and all the holy prophets who came in the person of the Lord Jesus, not as a prophet, but as the Son of Man and the Redeemer to redeem mankind. So we love you with the love of God. Hallelujah. We love you of the Holy Spirit that give us the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. So we are grateful today, as the handmaid tonight, the women of God, often call them the backbone and the front side of all civilizations. The mothers, the women, the wives are the backbones. I don't care what, that's my opinion. I'm not trying to make no doctrine. I'm just saying that is my honor about the women's and the mothers and the wives and the ambassadors and the people who use their lives to benefit others and bless others. So good. Now we're not saying that we're perfect on here. Otherwise, I don't like to use that word perfect because it's so misapplied. I don't even like to use that word very much, because the word in the English language is perfect is not basically the same in the Aramaic or Hebrew language. The way it's translated is misunderstood, the word perfect. And I don't like to use that word because in the English it's misunderstood and misapplied. Hallelujah. Because man's perfection and idea of perfection and what the Bible talks about perfection is two different things. They're separate in their understanding, in their spiritual intent. And so when we use the word perfect a lot of times, We don't have the comprehension of what perfect means in the sight of God. So here we are, but we know that the peace of God in Christ will keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ through all of this. And the worst is yet to come, as well as the greater is come. The greatest thing is yet to come, but also some of the worst things are yet to come. So we need not to fear, not worry. We rest ourselves in the blood of Jesus. And we've been redeemed and been baptized and walked, went down in his name to walk in the newness of life and allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. We can make the journey. And also we have the angel Elijah coming. And these lads bringing a word that makes us ready for Christ. I hope that many people, as we share the last call, the midnight cry, the Elijah coming with a word from the Lord in these days, as in the days of old. All right, Brother Nate, we can invite all the people in every nation, if you want, that are listening any place, we invite them they can come, they can hear us, they can call us, they can write us, then they have a prayer request. They can identify themselves. They can, whatever they choose, to come to listening, to hear what we have to share in these latter days.
Amen. Amen, brother. And I agree with you 100% to all you that's listening, as my brother just said, and unto you. And that's true. You know, we're here because we're commissioned by God to give the word of the Lord to the people, to you, the listener. And, hey, we love you in the Lord. We value your prayer requests, okay? We will pray for you. You know, you call in, amen. And, you know, and if you don't want to call in, you feel uncomfortable, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. And you can put your prayer requests or your questions there. I know some people, you know, kind of feel a little funny when they're coming on the air. They, I don't want that. Well, you know, I understand. So, you know, we're giving you the email address. And we're, as I say this, and turn it back over to the hands of my brother, we are taking advantage of this time now, people. And I know you've heard us say this a lot of times on the broadcast, but the day is going to come, people, that you're going to be denied access to the internet, the radio, the TV, and the you that I'm talking about is true believers. Okay?
Yeah.
True believer. Not just anybody calling himself believer. I'm talking about true believers. Okay? You're going to be denied access. Okay? Because the truth is not going to be receive, it's not going to be wanted, okay? And whether you believe it or not, they are building up stuff now. Even in your legislation and in your Supreme Court to come against true, true Christianity, okay? Now, you can believe it or not, that's up to you. Amen.
That's quite true, brother. The hour is here that Jesus and the prophets and Hosea and Isaiah warned about, that truth will be cast down in the streets. And righteousness will be turned away, the righteousness of God. And we're talking about the righteousness of God in Christ. We have to make this clear because people don't know what the point of our faith. Our point of our faith is that Christ is Lord and the Redeemer and resurrected victory, triumphant one, Redeemer at the right hand of the Father. So we'll know what the point of our reference and our faith. And it's not in the many, many gods over the world. We're talking about the gospel. We're talking about that the gospel of Christ is going to be really rejected and being rejected even in a Christian nation like America, who is making laws, secret meetings to cut out the privilege to preach the gospel, to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and teach what the Bible says about salvation, righteousness, and sin, and the judgment. And they're already making plans that you can't preach this, and you'll see it come to pass. We're not making it, so we're not trying to be funny. We're not trying to be getting you scared. We're just trying to get you ready. We're not trying to create fear. We're trying to open your eyes to be ready that it's coming. And so we can't hide it from you. Say, well, don't talk about that. Don't. What you mean? We got to warn you. That's our obligation. What do you think the prophets in the Bible did? What do you think when they came with the word of the Lord, how they were received? They came with blessing. They came with warning. They came with judgment. They come with awakening. And they also came with chastisement of Israel. So we have to take the whole message to tell you to warn what Satan is planning to take away our liberty and freedom to declare the whole gospel of Jesus Christ as Lord. Now understand that we're not talking about other religion. We're talking about the one Redeemer and one Savior and the one Lord, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the God of Abraham and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one we're talking about. Our faith is in the blood, death, and resurrection power of Christ. In our language, he's called the Christ. He's called, referring to as Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. And therefore, we want you to know, we're talking about he that is the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, came into the world to redeem mankind. And so this is being in the work. And so we're constantly reminding people because, see, when we start warning people about the people about 9/11, about the famine, about the plagues in the waters and the air, and about the judgment that is coming in 2020. When people, we start telling about the shaking that God's going to allow to come and permit, people just don't pay no attention. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 24 that he will hardly find any faith in the book of Jude. And Peter warned about this day. There'll be scoffers walking at their own lust. They said, where is this coming, and where is this, and where is that? And now it's upon us. And the warning has been and is going to be to wake up and prepare people for what's coming, especially the Christian Bible-believing gospel believers. I got to emphasize the gospel because you can take the different things in the Bible that's not gospel. And does that lead to the real truth? Because all the Bible does not contain all the gospel. The Bible is not all about the gospel. It's about other things, too, besides the focus that Jesus, what's it about? The whole Bible is pointing to Yeshua, Jesus, the living Christ, coming to redeem mankind, and that he is going to be, he was beaten, scorned, and he rose again from the dead. Now, in the last days, there come scoffers, book of Jude and Peter said, scoffers, walking at their own lust, heretics. I would suggest that you read your Bible, beloved, and if you are not a born-again, saved Christian, you still can read your Bible and ask God for understanding and go to a church that believes the whole Bible, and you do better to ask God to help you to find a church that believes the whole gospel as spoken in the book of Acts. Find a good Bible-believing church that might help you to understand some scriptures and the way of salvation. So wherever you are in whatever nation, you may not have our freedom. You may not have our liberty. But if you, whatever nation you are, whether it's Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Mexico, Venezuela, Brazil, whatever nation you are in certain parts of Africa is controlled by the perennial suppressors of Islam. All Islam people are not, I'm not saying that all Islam people are terrorists, but I'm telling you what they teach in the Quran. They teach anyone that don't believe in Allah and Muhammad, they are considered to be a heretic and worthy of death. Now, that's what's in the Quran now. I don't know what these people, you know, practice, but I'm telling you what the Quran said and the Sharia law, that anyone, according to Muhammad, in the Quran, that anyone that refuses to accept Allah and refuses to accept Muhammad as his prophet, they are worthy of death. So I'm just telling you like it is. And the same thing existed in the 3rd and 4th centuries. The Roman Catholic Church had the same edict to kill everyone. And they killed people for over 600-800 years. The Roman Catholic Church, after the Roman Empire, the Roman Catholic papal power took power a hidden part of history. They killed so many true Christians. I'm talking about the Roman Catholic Church and the papal. I know this is the history, and I'm not trying to condemn them because you've got many good, honest people still in the Roman Catholic Church. You got more goodful, loving, caring people in the Mormon, Jehovah Witness, and all kind of these, but they have to come out. This is the day that Revelation 18 says, come out of her, Babylon. He's talking about all of these things that don't point to Christ as Lord and Savior. You have to come out. This is a message called coming out. I mean, listen, who do you think you are? I'm just a servant with a voice crying in the wilderness. Who am I? I'm just telling what thus said the Lord. You can, you know, you just have to test it out and see what I'm telling you the truth. You can search the scriptures or ask somebody to guide you that has understanding of the gospel and ask them to help you, or you can get on your knees and you can pray and you can fast until God give you an answer. Hallelujah. So now I said this to say, we're giving this warning and admonition to all believers, because believers, a lot of Christians are walking, sleepwalking, and they are just like, some are lukewarm and some are kind of carnal and trying to walk in the world and, you know, walk in the flesh, and some have not come to maturity, and some don't believe all of the Bible, and some don't believe all of the gospel, and some are part-time lovers, and I don't want to be a part-time lover. God wants your whole heart, and he wants a wife, which is called the church. He wants a bride that belongs totally to him, and he's not willing to share you with the devil, the world, and nobody else, and he's a jealous God, but he's jealous with a reason, because he the one gave life, and he the one that gave redemption. He the one that made you for his glory, so he should have right to be jealous, and it's a righteous jealousy. Now, in human affairs, in marriage, and even in boyfriends and pimps, when the pimps has the young ladies and he don't give them a liberty but to work for him in his streets, and then he beat them up and say, and he'll beat them up and control them, and then you got some boyfriends that beat the, you know their others and beat them and keep them in control. Young ladies, young women, wherever you are, you may be in a nation that control many things, but the Lord never intend for a man, a pimp, who called himself a man, a user, a molester, a beater, to have control over your life and your destiny. If you're under that situation where you are under control of a pimp, and Brother Lee, this is my name, I call them pimps. If he don't want to love you enough to marry and take care of you and give you his name and his covenant, I ain't going to say any more about that. If he just want to make babies and tell me I love you, baby, and don't want to make a covenant and don't want to give you his name, don't want to take responsibility in a marriage and a covenant, and he just want to pimp you, if that's what you want, that's not what God intend for you. That's not what the Bible intend for you. God's got a better deal for you, a better way. If you young ladies are locked in America and Western society with all this free love, and he's my baby, and he's my honey, he's my sweetie devil, he's your sweetie devil. He's your sweetie devil pimp. And get rid of him and get what God got for you. Get what Jesus intended for you, a real man, a real husband that cares about you. And brother, am I posture correct or a little correct?
You pretty much correct there, brother. You on target with that one.
I think I'm on target, because I'm talking about what the scriptures desire. I know that some of these things are sharp, but this is the time of Jeremiah. He said, what do you see, Jeremiah, in the first chapter? He said, I see this. He said, well, prophesy and speak. What did he say to Ezekiel? Ezekiel, speak. So we can't limit it to a Sweetwater gospel. There has to be some the word of God that sharpens like a sharp sword. So I'm telling you, because the Lord has put on me for 4 or 5 years about how women in America, in the Western world, are being manipulated and molested and dominated and brutalized and some women are utilizing men too. And they are, in the Christian world, they're having a spirit that's in the Christian world, which Christian marriages, that many times a wife don't want to submit to her husband. Now, she don't submit to brutality, being misused, molested. She's not supposed to submit to that. That's not what God says, that we should submit to that. But anyway, read your Bible and come to understanding. Hallelujah. We're having, in America, we're having a really turnaround from the platform that the Bible has. I can't look, for example, to the White House. If you're looking for an example from these offices, political office, you're going to be really disgraced. If you look into a party, that's what they call this, of a political party. And some of them are good men and good women who have good ideas and good thoughts to help the nation. And I agree, there are some. There are some. And they give some good ideas and principles which our nation is founded. And I thank God for the good men and women who are in office who care about our nation, care about our community and our country. And I thank God for them. But that's not too many of those. This is Brother Lee saying it. I said, there's not too many of those. So I'm not looking to the White House for my deliverance. I'm not looking to the White House to the throne of God for me. I'm looking to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the conqueror of all conquer. The White House and the whatever house there, I thank God that we find some good men and women who are trying to help our nation. But that's very few of those. Okay. Brother Nate, thank you, Hunt. If you're out there and you disagree with me, that's okay. I have no problem with people disagreeing with me. Just show me, you know, just tell me how I'm incorrect. Correct me in humility, though. But don't get sassy, because I'm not gonna disrespect you, and you're not going to disrespect me. And as long as you come with respect and honor, you're welcome. You are welcome. And anytime you want, because why? I make mistakes. There is no saved or sanctified believer who don't make some mistakes and errors in life. And even if we find ourselves in a mistake on this program, and you can correct us in the scripture and the principles of God, I welcome you. I'm not afraid of being corrected the right way. If you come with love and with respect and honor to correct me, and that's okay. That's good. That's okay. That's why we are to help us one to another. All right, then. I'm going to read something, Brother Nathaniel. Hunt.
Amen. Amen.
You know, when you have the Bible talks about in the New Testament that there's different callings upon people, and as you read what it says in Philippians 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it talks about how the grace of God would be working through people in the last days. And sometimes we misunderstand that God uses people outside our arena and our thinking. But the Lord uses many people in many nations. For example, there are many Bible-believing that's on the missionary field, keep putting their lives on the lives right now. And they're reaching thousands of people for Christ. And I want to say this. Even though I'm a part of the Church of Christ of the Elijah Message, I commend my brothers in Christ, blood-washed, redeemed believers, who are putting their lives on the line and taking it to the nation, hallelujah, and putting all for Christ and going to the nation. And some of them are getting killed in prison, been run out and beaten. I commend those that have that kind of dedication. And I don't think that the Church of Christ has a monopoly on the truth. And they're not the only one that God is using in these last days. I would be foolish to say such a foolish thing. But I thank God that he has given us a revelation of truth and given us a charge and a calling concerning the restoration and restitution of all things. Now, there are many people being used to help bring about the restoration of time. The angel messenger says that he has many people, many who are using to help bring about the restoration of all things. He says that. And they're not in the Church of Christ Elijah, but God, the Holy Spirit, is using them in part to bring about the restoration and prepare people for Christ's coming. So I commend wherever you are, brothers, who are suffering and taking it to the people in every nation and proving your love for Christ. So I commend you. And you don't have to be in the Church of Christ, Elijah Messenger, for me to call you brother. As long as you're blood washed, redeemed, and born of the Spirit of Christ, hallelujah. Okay, then. All right. If you have any wonderful, corrective, constructive criticism that you would like to add, I said constructive, humble, respected criticism, you are welcome. You are welcome. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and correcteth every son. So, thanks be to God for you out there who think you can do a better job. If you think you can do a better job, I'm sure you, many people can do a greater job than we do. But we just one part of God's got many people, many women who are being used mightily in different areas. So I thank God for all of them, those that are in politics, in business, those that's in medicine and economics, in teaching, those that are feeding people, those that are attending to their physical and mental need. I thank God for those people that are going overseas because there's so many hungry children, so many sick children, so afflicted children. I thank God for the medical missionaries. I thank God for the doctors that's going to these nations, for the medical missionaries that are going. Hallelujah. They're taking Christ and they're taking help in the arena of their needs, physical needs, mental needs, medical needs, school needs. I thank God. I clap my hands for them. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I'm not doing it and they are doing it. And I thank God for it. Thank God for them, Brother Nate. I thank Amen. God for them. Amen. I thank my God for them. Okay. Okay. Let us read what is written. Now, what is written in the Holy Scriptures. And when I say what is written, I make a very clear statement what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Bible, because there's a lot of stuff in different parts of the world, of people in many nations who have books. But I'm talking about the one true God and deliverer. And I have to keep saying this. This sounds arrogant, but brother, as we get close to the end of this spiritual darkness is trying to take over America and the world. This beast, this false prophet, this false antichrist spirit, this communist, this socialist, this Marxist, this Babylonian demon is trying to take over America. Do you know what they're trying to teach in the education and what they're trying to teach our children now? Brothers, do you know what they're trying to school? They're controlling the education. Do you not know where we're getting our books and education from and who's controlling it? And I would tell all people, especially in America and the free nation, go to your schools, look at the books, what they're teaching your children. You're going to be shocked. Don't just send them to school. Find out what their books, what they're printing, what they're teaching, how they have departed from the Constitution of the United States and from the spiritual and the Bible. They have departed from the Bible and the gospel, the principles of America, its Constitution, and the way of life. You go to the school, the primary school, and see what they're filling your kids with. When they come home, you better ask your kids, what are they teaching you? You're going to be shocked. I'm so glad, I guess, I don't have any young children. I really am. Brother Nate?
Yes, sir.
I have to go to the school. I might, when I get through writing and protesting, I might have to go to jail.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be teaching my children. anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Bible principle, and I'm not going to permit it. I will snatch them out to save and deliver them from this ungodly idolatry perversion. Do you know what they're teaching our children in our primary and secondary schools in America? They have changed the context since 1940, 50. We're looking at a new controlling period that taking our textbooks and putting these lies and deceptions and deception. I have to say it. Don't care if you don't like it. I can't worry about what you don't like. We got to save America, save our children and our nation. We have to cry loud and spare not. And my name is Brother Lee. And I can be corrected and chastened, but I ain't taking it back. And before I take it back, I add some more to it. Okay. Love you all in the love of God. Can you imagine John the Baptist got his head cut off because he cried out and says, you know what? We knew what Jeremiah got put in a hole about. You know what Isaiah got sawed asunder, the prophet? you know where the apostles were killed and crucified and hung upside down? Peter was. We're coming to that day. It is happening in the Middle East and Far East or right now. And it's itching to America. And we sleep in America. Oh, all they're worried about is hearing some prosperity. What do they call it? Prosperity gospel? What a lot of people want.
Amen.
Okay. I ain't going to get into that. I believe God wants us to prosper, no doubt. All right, let's read the scripture. Let's read what is written in the Bible, the abridged version of the Bible. John 17, Brother Nate, do you know what John 17, 16, 17? Jesus said, sanctify them through my truth. My word is truth. Is that real, brother? You think that's real?
Yeah, it is.
The Lord Jesus, when he was on the earth as the Son of Man and the Son of God, and God in the flesh, and the seed of Abraham and of David, and the house of Judah, he said to his disciples, and he was speaking, he says, sanctify yourself. I sanctify you through the truth, for my word is truth. Now, I want to understand that. He said, my word is truth, John 17. Sanctify yourself through my word, for my word is truth. If anyone out there want to know how you discern and divide what deception is going today, merely take the four gospels and begin to discern. Then go to what the apostles and discern. And the Holy Spirit will open your eyes if you want to discern. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way. Now, the clear thing about that, he doesn't say that there's many ways, Brother Nate. He doesn't say I'm one of the ways. You notice that?
Amen.
I hear all kind of teaching on the TV, the radio, tablets all over the world, and spreading in America like wildfire. And it's spreading all of this deception. But Jesus still said, as the Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14 and 6. John, Gospel, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with Yahweh. And the Word was Yeshua, the Rhema, and the Word was made flesh and dwell among us. Jesus' father said in John's Gospel, I think Gospel chapter 6, He said, my word is spirit and truth. Now let's go and pretend that we never read the Bible. Let's pretend that we never read the Bible. And this is the first time. Psalms 119, which is his longest, what we call the longest chapter in the Bible. Well, we call it chapters. Of course, when the Bible was written, it didn't have any chapters in it. When the Bible was put together in scribes and scrolls, it had no chapters. That's a later venture of modern man adding chapters. But originally, there was no chapters. But for our convenience, it made chapters and verses. And Psalms 119 at verse 9. I was praying, Psalms 119, verse 9. I was praying when I first came to Christ as my Lord as a young man and a novice. I'm sitting in a chair. I said, Lord, would you make me to know something I need as a believer? Make me to understand something. I need a word from you. And I started out, and I was sitting there praying and seeking the Lord. I said, give me a word for my life. And this is the scripture he gave me. It's Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherein shall a young man cleanse his ways? He that wrote to my word. Never forget that years ago, I wanted the word. And he tried to turn to that scripture. He said, wherein shall a young man cleanse his ways? Take heed thereof to my word, to thy word, thy word. Psalms 119, verse 9. Now listen to what verse 11 says. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see that, Brother Nate, 119, verse 11? Thy word
right.
have I hid
yes.
in my heart. Now, it's in the book. It's the letters. But you got to put it, hide it in your heart. So that's why it's so important to hear the preached word, the taught word, the anointed word, the prophetic word, and the word that you study and meditate in your home, that I might not sin against thee. Now listen to what it says as we move on in 119 Psalms. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Verse 49. Would you like to read verse 49?
Verse 49 in Psalms 119. The word of the Lord said, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope.
Read that again.
Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope.
Is there a lot of hopelessness of people in the world? Hopelessness? Brother, that's detect hopelessness.
There is.
You know, when you go into a oppressed, distressed station, worried state, you lose hope. Hope flee away. Depends on what you was putting your hope in. Let's say you was putting your hope and the man is, and the husband or the boyfriend, he's not there, your business, your job, and people are losing jobs and to take care of their families. And they're losing hope, right? And,
amen.
And there are people who are falling apart because they don't see a way of means out of this chaos. They have no insurance to cover their – they're worried about their family not having proper insurance. And so they're stressed out. And they go to smoking more cigarettes and puffing on more weeds to try to get some assurance, brother. They're looking. They go to the store and get that alcohol in every corner in some places, and the alcohol man is there waiting on them. And he said, don't worry about this. Pay me when you get your check. And so they try to drown their sorrows because they're lost in hope in our country, in our nation, in the business world. And so they're sitting there, how am I going to feed my children and my wife and pay their mortgage? They're losing hope. You want to read that again, brother? Verse again.
Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope.
Hope. Thy word. Wow. Let's go to verse 81.
My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word.
My soul fainted. Why? Because I have not found the way of salvation. But I know, David said, my hope is in thy word. It's not over with. It's not as depressing. Why don't you look to his word? And Jesus is the word made flesh. Let's see verse 89. Find comfort. Verse 89.
Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
Well, let's really put that out there again, brother.
Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. It's settled. Whatever I said, it's settled. It's for sure. It's the only assurance that you're going to get. In these dark days, you're going to have the revelation of the living word of Christ in you and in your life and before you day and night, because things don't get so dark. It's gross darkness going to cover the earth, and it's spiritual darkness covering our nation. Every segment of life is being covered with a compromise of the Bible. Or the Bible is a storybook, it's a mysticism. Or it's something the white man wrote up. It's something, it's always that. Let's go to verse 97.
Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day.
You want to read that again, brother? What we should be meditating instead of our problems? Do you know what, how you people get in depression and oppression and Satan come in and put them in greater sorrow? You know how it happened? They're thinking about their problems day and night, and they look and they see hopelessness. They're thinking about the problem, the unseemly, unsolvable problem that's the mountain, and they're thinking on it. And their thoughts are, when they lay down, they can't sleep. They wrestle all night. They're thinking on the problem. And they don't see any way out. Verse 97 says, what?
Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day.
It's my medicine. It's my answer. It's my wisdom. It's my direction. I'm meditating on the answer. What should I be meditating day and night on, brother? What should I meditate as a believer? What should I meditate? You mean you're not a believer in Christ? What did David say? Day and when? Day and night?
Yep, all the day, day and night.
The monsters come. Doubt, fear, unbelief, and hopelessness come to you in the night. When you lay down, these four monsters come in your dreams, come in the vision, come in your bedroom. Worry, anxiety, unbelief. Let's see what David Farber says. Let's go to 101 verse.
Verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word.
I refrain my what? My well, my feet?
My feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word.
What's guiding my feet? What am I doing here and there unless I'm son of God? Purpose. Where my feet are taking me. All right, let's go to verse 103.
How sweet are thy words unto my lip taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
No. The devil got something for you to keep you pacified and give you a sense of answer. When America is now become one of the drug capitals, illegal drugs, destructive drugs, and we are relying upon a lot to bring answers and solution in our distress and hopelessness. And so we got more alcoholists, more druggists. Now we got illegal drugs now. You can get your marijuana, you can get your hemp, you can get this now. Oh, my goodness. And now we got more alcoholic drugs. We got more addiction to the racetrack and to, you can gamble on anything now, Brother Knight. They got it so you can gamble your life away in trying to get hope. And you get in bondage to gambling. And look, people are trying everything to the avenue of hope. Well, maybe I might get this, Brother Nate. I know I get my number every day when I pass on my way to work. And so they're looking and looking to luck to deliver them. They're looking to Mr. Luck. But read what it says. Let's go to verse 113. I think it's 113. I guess it is.
Verse 113. It says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love.
Thy law do I love. Wow. And look what it says. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. You talk about the feet was going to different places, the feet being taken to many places. Then he come back and said, that word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And darkness increases upon the earth and will try to get in my life. All right. Let's see. 114, brother. 114. Now,
114.
Let's leave that alone. Now, that word is a lamp. It's an answer, a solution. It's a revelation. I want you to turn to Ephesians because as we go into the world is filled with hopeless despair and falling down and crumbling, and people have the monster of fear, doubt, and unbelief and anxiety, and they're meditating on it day and night. And the more they meditate on darkness and hopelessness, it gets bigger and bigger. And greater and greater, and they're taking pills to get up and pills to go through the life. And they become addicted to even to medical pills. And they want drugs more and more. And they get prescription drugs as well as illegal drugs because they haven't found the pathway and the light that leads to that pathway. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 says, it's very important as we come into this area about enlightenment. If the word is the enlightenment or the revelation to solution and answer and the wisdom of God speaking to us, it's in his word. And it's in his living word, Christ, who becomes the living word and the light of light. Now we have to turn the whole world to the light of light, the lamp of God, which is the Lamb of God, the lamp of God, which is the Lamb of God, and a light to my feet and a understanding to the pathway I should take. Now listen to what it said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, about this enlightenment that must come in the midst of darkness. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18.
Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Now, why is that prayer so important for us to pray that prayer in Ephesians? It I would behoove that all Christians and all believers would pray this prayer the Apostle Paul left on record in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians chapter 3. The Lord teaches us to pray. The disciples told Jesus, teach us to pray. Well, this is a revelatory prayer for the Christians and believers in the last days the Apostle Paul left on record. Now, when you read that prayer, what is it saying, Brother Nate? What is it saying about this light to the lamp of our feet and the light to our path? What is it saying?
Well, that in his prayers for the believers, that God will give unto us wisdom and revelation in the knowing of him, in his knowledge, and that he will enlighten the eyes of our understanding. And by this enlightenment, we will come to know what the hope of our calling and what the riches of the glory his inheritance in the saints.
Okay. Very much. Let's go back to verse 15 and 16. Let's start at the key of it, verse 15. And it starts out very important part. Verse 15.
Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks to you.
Make mention in my prayers, right?
Amen.
Now have I heard of your, what he's writing to the church, he said, I heard of the key, the very key to overcoming everything. He starts out with the first foundation stone of the believer. I heard of your, what? Your faith and love to all the what?
Saints.
Your faith being grounded in love and faith. Then he goes on, I heard about your great love and your love for one another and for all the saints. We're going to need one another in these last days. And we're really, the saints going to see why they need one another. Okay. And Paul was saying, I heard, and writing to the church of Ephesus, I heard of your faith and your love for all the saints because you demonstrated it. Now, what else he said in the next verse?
Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer.
So the apostle is praying for them in the prayer. He said, I cease not. Okay? This prayer. What else he says?
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him.
Now, it talks about a relationship with a him. Is that right? A person. Is that
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
If you want to come out of this darkness, there is a him you got to get in touch with, a him, a person, a particular individual. And Paul is talking about, I pray for you, the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, he identifies the pathway and the light that need to shine upon your darkness, that shine in your chaos and your confusion. He's telling you who the person. And he's praying for the spirit of revelation and the wisdom to the Christian church who holds the key to the kingdom, who hold the key for the nation to come out of darkness into the marvelous light. They hold the key. They hold the answer. And he talks about, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and wisdom and the knowledge of him. Of him. If you come in out of your darkness, you got to meet the him. You got to come out of, if you're going to meet the Apostle Paul, the Saul, who thought he was it, he was religiously blind, he met Jesus in the ninth chapter of Acts, He came out of his darkness. Read on. The prayer.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope
of your understanding.
And what's the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Wow. The Lord God made his greatest investment in mankind when he sent his son. He invested his own self. He invested his life and came to the cross in our place to redeem us. God the Father made an investment, and we are his investment in his heirs. And he will never forget us. It looks dark, but if you look to him, he is going to make his investment. It's not going to fail. Wall Street and stocks going to fail, and people are going to crumble and commit suicide because they invested everything in there. But he tells us where we should really invest in. Read on in the prayer.
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?
Coming out of darkness into the light. Now, there's a mystery right quick. We want to read one scripture before the sisters come on. There is a mystery, and this mystery is about who's bringing and restoring this light that's needed to people and restoring it. I know we got the Bible, we got the light of God, but he promised there's a mystery in Revelation. Now, if we turn to Revelation, I want you to turn to Revelation. This mystery has been hid, is now being revealed and made manifest. Who is this angel that we see in Revelation that's taking John, the beloved, to a whole plan of the end time about our deliverance before Jesus comes, before Christ comes? There's an angel and angels all the way through the book of Revelation, and it's a mystery about the light that he brings. I want you to turn to Revelation 18:1. Revelation 18:1. There is a mystery about this angel, or this particular angel, that's showing up and revealing to John the end time, beginning way back at the church age, 2,000 years ago, about things that were shortly coming to pass in this 2,000-year history of the church. Revelation 18:1. Who is this angel? 18:1. This mystery about bringing this. Mm-hmm.
And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory.
Now he said the earth, or the inhabitants of the earth, they were enlightened with what? What? Enlightened
with, the power
with
of,
what he?
With power, having great power, and the earth is lightened with his glory.
Now this angel is bringing something from heaven in the last days. I didn't write it. Brother Nate didn't write it.
Amen.
This is a revelation of a mystery that has been hid about this angel message coming in the latter days. The message and the word that he brings is going to really enlighten all the nations of the earth. When he said all the earth, he's talking about people. He's talking about nations.
Amen.
Let's go to Revelation 14:6 and see who this angel is that is appearing in Revelation, in the book of Revelation, that's hid in Revelation 14:6.
In Revelation 14:6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people.
You see, this same angel, we're going to find out that it's this mystery about this same angel of God that's visiting in the last days. What is he bringing, this light that he bringing? It's the everlasting what? The gospel to be restored. This is a mystery. Amen. When they read the book of Revelation, they have not comprehend this last day. Now, we've got one more. He's bringing light, enlightenment that Paul is talking about. I pray that the spirit of wisdom, that you might be enlightened. We'll be enlightened to the latter day move of God. Now, Who is this Revelation, book of the angel of Revelation? Let's go to Revelation chapters 22, verse 6 and 10. The mystery that had been hid is now revealed about this. Why are we going to need this light? Oh, we got the Bible. We don't need nothing else. We got it all together. Okay. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Revelation 22, 6 and 10.
And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand.
Now the Lord Jesus talks about sending his angel during the time of John on the Isle of Patmos. And he keeps talking about the Lord God has sent his angel. And the mystery of the hidden, who is this angel that came all through Revelation to guide John the Beloved and to give us a pathway to light that we need in the last days called restoring. Now, you notice he says the Lord God sent his angel. Don't get confused. We're not worshiping no angel. We're just saying they are messengers. And they bring something. And they are servants of God to bring something. And he said, the Lord God has sent his angel. Now, we'll talk about this angel in the book of Revelation later on. We're going to talk about this mystery of this angel bringing this light that we claim to have pure light among Christians in the latter days. We find out that we don't because he talks about he's sending an angel. Who is this? We're going to identify who this angel is from the beginning of Revelation to the end, when Jesus keeps talking about, he has sent his angel to give to his servant John some words that's going to resonate in the last day. All right, Sister Alice, I know you're there, and Sister Helen, we greet you, women of God. Women of God. Oh, I guess they own dinners there. I guess this is Saturday, and they have spending time with their family. That's good. With their husbands and their families, that's good. And maybe they're going on a missionary, that's good. So I guess they're not, they're busy on this Saturday night with family.
Well, I'll give them another minute to come on.
Now, we're going to read a scripture while they're coming on about this angel of Revelation. Who is this angel of Revelation? Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 16. That's been hid as a mystery to many people. Verse 16.
Well, Revelation 22, verse 16.
Yes.
I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star.
Now, Jesus keeps referring to this particular angel that he sent to John in the Revelation, and we're going to see what role that he played, this angel, in the latter day. We're going to see.
We welcome Sister Helen. God bless Sister Helen.
God bless.
Shalom, shalom.
Amen.
Well, we'll welcome you, dear sister. We were just talking and sharing some things and giving some hope to people and some light to people. And we're glad to have you.
Yes.
So carry on. Carry on.
I just thank the Lord for the conversation that I heard tonight. And I just thank the Lord that he blessed my oldest granddaughter and grandson to be able to be here and listen in on the broadcast tonight. And I just really thank the Lord for that, that he would give them an open heart and mind that they would be able to understand, the word of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Young man, young women, the Lord loves you and he has plans and purpose for your life. And we hope that as you get on your knees at night and you praise that, Lord Jesus, I just want to know what you have for my life. I want you to know what you plan for my life. And would you help me to understand what you got for my life? And if you are honest and sincere and continue to pray and listen to grandma and listen to you begin to understand what God put you in this earth for. Why has he got you here? Because the devil has a plan for all people, and you don't want to fall into the hands of the devil. You want to fall in the hands of the Lord Jesus, who loves you. Okay, Sister Allison, I guess she's not available tonight.
No. She won't be getting on tonight.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're talking about the mystery angel in Revelation that Jesus keeps referring to that I send, and he keeps talking about this particular angel. Mm-hmm. And we need to know why is he keeps saying to John, I have sent my angel. Why is he constantly referring to I send my angel to testify and speak to you and show you these things? And we're going to understand better why this angel that he keeps talking on in the book of Revelation, why he says the mystery, and why people haven't understood when he began to speak in that beginning of the church age and 2,000 years later, what has this angel mission and purpose to be done in the latter day? Because it's been a mystery in here. And we'll be talking about this angel that Jesus keeps talking about. We call him the angel of Revelation. The angel of Revelation. We'll talk about that his mission that he started back there is not over with yet. That 2,000 years later, he's still on his mission and his purpose to be fulfilled. He's called the mystery angel of Revelation that Jesus keeps referring to. I have sent my angel. And we're going to talk about that angel and the light that he brings. What is the light that he brings that fills all nations and all people? Because now we're in the midst of this finding out this angel must fulfill what the prophet says. Now is the time of the restitution and restoration of all things. Acts chapter 3. So you want to have a couple of comments, Brother Nate, or anybody about this mystery angel?
Well, you know, I thank the Lord for revealing to us of his plan in this word. And we see that these angels, as well as all angels, they come at the appointed time of the Lord. They they come when God sends them. They don't come on just our beck and command. They come at the appointed time of the Lord Jesus. So all of these things is taking place for a purpose, because God doesn't do anything in vain. So that's one of the things that I'm seeing concerning the scriptures here about him sending the angel.
And this is going to be fulfilled in a particular angel. Angels of many types of angels of God are living in the earth, but this is a particular one. Would have a particular mission and a particular messenger. He is just not an ordinary angel, because God has many, many angels that's even visiting people. We have ministered angels. We have worship angels. We have warring angels. We have angels that are called messengers, like Gabriel, which is called an archangel. But this particular angel that he keeps referring to in the book of Revelation, it's not just one of those run-of-the-mill. This angel is a particular mysterious angel that his work goes all the way to the end time. And we're going to find out what is this light that he brings that's going to fill the whole earth. See, all the angels is not going to have that mission to bring light that's going to fill the whole earth. See, there's a particular mission and purpose, because we're going to find out what is the revelation of this angel bringing light from heaven that's going to fill the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's quite an assignment, isn't it? That's quite an assignment. And we'll learn more about the latter days visitation of this particular messenger. Often they are called watchers and messengers. And Jesus said, I have sent my angel to speak and testify. We're going to find out, is this angel still speaking today, or is he silent? We're going to look into the mystery angel of Revelation. So today, beloved, wherever you are in the world, and you have heard and understood that there is a God that loves you, and he's the eternal God, and his name in the English is called the Lord Jesus Christ, But in many original tongues of the Hebrew, he's called Yeshua Mashiach, the Holy One of Israel, the risen, victorious, triumphant one. We have presented to you his love, the death on the cross, his torture, his beating. He gave his life a ransom to purchase, mm-hmm. to buy, and to redeem you from the curse that Adam, when he fell, he came to redeem us from the curse that Adam fell into and to redeem us unto the Father. So there is hope for you. Whatever nation you are, the gospel of Jesus Christ, get your Bible. If you can get a Bible, the Chinese people don't have many Bibles. They have the greatest mm-hmm. move of God. They have the greatest move of the Holy Spirit probably in the face of the earth that's going on now. Mm-hmm. And I want to commend and pray for my brothers in China and North Korea, because the Lord is greatly moving them to do great and mighty things. And I commend them even going to jail. And then after they go to jail, they come back and preach the gospel. And then the Chinese get them again, put them in jail again. And they come out 5-6 years later, they go and preach the gospel again. They go back in jail, they go and preach the gospel again. That kind of faith, mm-hmm. that kind of dedication, we don't see too often in America. But we...
Yeah.
Tell it like it is.
Amen.
That kind of commitment, we don't see that much in America. But I want to say to all of those that want to make a decision today, to partakers of the kingdom of God and become a child of God and become redeemed tonight. And Sister Helen is going to invite all the women to come to Christ, and wherever you are in every nation, maybe you don't have the liberty, you can come to Jesus Christ and give him your heart and your life at a day and a time of new beginning in your life. You become a part of the family of God.
Amen. Amen. I like to invite all the women, you know, all over the world, you know, that they can accept Jesus Christ even today, right now, as your Lord and Savior. And he said that whosoever come unto him, he will in no wise will cast you out, and that you just come before him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and he will forgive you for all of your sins that you have committed before him. Amen.
Well, invite them to commit their hearts and their lives to Jesus in a prayer.
Yes, Father, in thy precious and holy name, Lord Jesus, we just come before your throne of grace on tonight, Lord God, praising you for all things, Lord God. And Father God, and we ask you in the name of Jesus that you will look down on mankind everywhere throughout the whole world, that you will touch hearts, and that you will touch minds,
yes.
Lord God, and that
yes.
you will save to the uttermost, Lord God,
to
in thy precious
Lord.
And holy name, Lord God. And Father God,
yes.
we just do thank you, Lord God, and we praise you, Lord God, for,
yes.
for dying upon the cross
yes.
for all mankind, that we might have a right to the tree of life and with eternity with you, Lord Jesus, in thy
yes.
precious and holy name. And Father God, we just want to lift up a prayer for our
yes.
young people tonight, Father, that you will look
yes.
down on them, that you will look on them, that
yes.
you will have mercy
yes.
upon them, that you
yes,
will turn
Jesus.
Their hearts and their minds, Lord God,
yes,
that you
Lord.
Give them a mind to come unto
yes.
you, Lord God, and
yes,
that you
Jesus.
Are the one that can fulfill that void
yes.
and that emptiness in their life, Lord God.
Yes,
and
Lord
Father
Jesus.
God, we ask, Father God, that you will touch them, Father, by
yes.
your Holy Spirit. That you would
yes,
give
Lord
them dreams,
Jesus.
That you would give them vision, Lord God, in
yes,
the mighty name of Jesus, that you will turn them around for your glory.
Turn
Father
them around,
God,
Jesus.
In that precious and holy name, Lord God. And for those,
thank you,
Lord,
Lord
God, that is threatening to commit suicide
yes.
out there, Father, that you
yes,
will
Lord Jesus.
Them, Father, that you will send that precious word unto them, Lord God,
yes.
in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father
yes.
God, we do thank you and we praise you, Lord
thank
God,
you.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
May the
thank
Lord
you,
bless
Father.
You all that is listening and
amen.
Go with God, read your Bible, and pray.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus.
May the Lord bless you, as my brother said. May he keep you. In Jesus' almighty name, glory to God. We love you. May God bless you. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless.